You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
This morning we have a special guest with us that I'm glad to introduce. Today, speaking and sharing about this as we continue the Me series is my friend Jenny Summers. Jenny is the director. Is that your title, director? Director, it's fancy. Director, which is different than pastor. She's just director, not director. She is the director of the, Pregnancy Resource Clinic in State College, which is a little town up over a mountain that never has any problems when there's snow. So out of all the weeks that the Weather Channel said light flurries, we had to bring her here then. But they made it, and Jenny is a wife to Todd. And Jenny, I should share a little bit about her, but I'll tell you, she is a mother of six children. So as a director of a pregnancy center, she knows what she's talking about, which is a good thing for her. And your youngest is 1 month? Are we, what, two? 10 weeks. So she's got a 10-week-old. So there she's going to be sharing this morning. And Jenny is also a personal friend. Jenny went to college with Kendra and me, in Lancaster Bible College. And Jenny was the vice president of the class of 1998, which makes us old. I was the president of the class of 1998. And so we worked together, and she trusted me enough to come here and share with you guys this morning. She's got a lot of stuff to talk about as we look at this issue of mattering to God and the fact that we are created in His image. Kind of this whole Me series comes together today with Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, which, as Kara shared, it's a church thing that churches do just to say, hey, this is important to us, which is why we do have those cards. If you guys could help us out with getting some of those supplies for Crossroads, which is our local one. She's in State College. We're going to do something locally here for Crossroads, and she's cool with that, by the way. I talked with her ahead of time. So Jenny is going to come this morning and teach and share from the Word of God what she has to say. So why don't we give it up for Jenny, please?
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so it's bright. I can barely see you. I'm really excited to be here. I was really glad that we could make it through the weather. I can say that I was like white-knuckling my wheel this morning, hoping that I would get down the mountain safely. We had to take two cars because our seven-passenger doesn't really sit an eight-person family very well. My husband, Todd, you'll see him in and out. We're potty training our two-year-old. So he says he has to constantly go poop. I mean, he really doesn't. So there's Todd. There's Andrew, our oldest. He's 12. Austin is 10. Aurelia, our only girl. She's 9. Then I have Anthony, who's 4. Asher, who's 2. And Abram, who was just born November 8th. They all start with A. 5 boys, 1 girl. We're really blessed. So I'm glad to be here. So I thought I'd introduce myself first, and which I did, and let you know where we live. We live in Mingoville. Anybody know where that is? You know where Center Hall Mountain is, Pleasant Gap. You take a right, go past Zion, and we're about 3 miles past Zion in a little village called Mingoville. We've lived there since 2005. We moved up to Bellefonte after I graduated from Lancaster Bible College. And we got married. Todd was a Penn State student, graduated from Lock Haven, and he's a teacher at Pleasant Gap. So that's where we live, and Sean told you what I do. I've been at Pregnancy Resource Clinic since 2008. I was with the Youth Service Bureau in Center County. I worked with families that were separated due to abuse or neglect and did reunification with the county for about 10 years and found that I couldn't really be myself. I couldn't share who I was, the love that I knew that Jesus had for us all, and my heart started to ache for something different, and I saw that the job opened up at Pregnancy Resource Clinic, and I applied, and I got it, and I can tell you that I've grown so much since I've been there, not just in who I am, but the love that Christ has for me, and also what I think God placed on my heart, just the love for people and sharing with others how much he loves them. So why Pregnancy Resource Clinic? I didn't quite know that it fit me until I had been working there for a time and realized that I can be me there. You know, we pray in the morning before our shift starts. And I love, I love being pregnant. six babies. I get pregnant easily. And they're all different. The births are different. But I love babies and I love children. And I'm really thankful. Sometimes I wonder, like, why God has given me six children when I have friends who can't conceive. And why, as a full-time working mother, why I have six children, which is a really hard thing to do. But I can be myself there, and I know that God has me there for very specific reasons, and I shine there. I can be me. When I was younger, I was about 14 years old, I was told by my parents that my grandparents had forced my mother to have an abortion when she was 14. And so when I was 14, I realized that I had a sibling that I never got to meet. And that caused a lot of anger inside of me, a lot of frustration. And I didn't really understand the why or the how behind it. I didn't know the stories about how that came to be. I just knew that that had happened. And so I was in youth group, and we got to order these T-shirts. I don't know where they came from, but my T-shirt that I wanted, it said, "The womb is not a tomb." And I wore it everywhere, all the time. I was like kind of like bad-mouthing or talking back to my parents by wearing this T-shirt. And it wasn't until I started at Pregnancy Resource Clinic how I realized how judgmental I was from the time I learned that about my parents until I started working alongside women and men who had abortions and realized, like, I love them, and they're not defined by their decision, and God's love for them is much bigger than a decision or a mistake that they had made. And I realized that my mom was the one that did my laundry and folded that T-shirt so faithfully, and it was a constant reminder to her what had been done to her and the choices that she had made. And so I had to, there's a few things in my first years at PRC that I had to reckon with. One, my sin was at the cross, just like your sin. And my sin is no different or bigger, and your sin is no bigger than mine. Just abortion has the greater consequences here on earth and for eternity. But God's blood is so wonderful and sweet. And I had to come to a place about abortion specifically. I had to, what's the word? I have pregnant brain, mommy brain on me. Help me out, Sean. I had to reconcile. I had to, I think, be sincerely apologetic. Even though myself, I haven't had an abortion, I think I had to ask Christ's forgiveness for the church, for the world in general. I had to mourn it for it to become real to me. So that took me a few years to understand what abortion is in our country and our world, the ramifications of it from the beginning of time. It just didn't start in 1973. It became legal. Okay? It was going on a lot longer before, a long time before that. So I had learned how judgmental my heart was, and that I didn't want to be like that anymore. I also was being aware, my eyes were being opened to the ugliness of the pro-life movement, not just in our country, but around the world. And I knew that it was ugly, but I just didn't know how to put words to it until I had a consultant. I had a Skype interview with a consultant that I had met a year and a half ago, last October. So it'll be October of 2012. And I'll tell you a little bit more about him in a few minutes. So I was listening to the sermons for the past couple weeks. Really interesting. I loved how Sean talked about how we are created. God created mankind in his own image. And he said, you represent the God of the universe. Or you represent, I think is how he said it. You represent, kept repeating himself. You represent. This is awesome. You are on purpose. You're the way I want you to be. Short, tall, blonde-haired, brown-haired, no hair, hairy. You guys were doing something with paper bags, I think, right? Is that 2 weeks ago, you think? And he says, God says, you're going to rule on my behalf. Think about it. Rule the world. If we were created in his image, it means we have value. We're valuable if God created us. Think about something that you would make. You know, we all make food, hopefully. If somebody makes us food and they're proud of it, usually. Or you make a piece of furniture, or an album, or maybe you make a CD. You're proud of it. You made it. So there's some value in it. If we were created in his image, it means we have value. So, and Kirk, where's Kirk? Are you a pastor, Kirk? One of them. Okay. So, nice to meet you. He talked about the importance of caring for us because we are valuable. All of life is valuable and worth taking care of. So he talked about stewardship. It's not about keeping it neat and tidy, but using what we have for God's glory to make it useful. So that really encouraged me this week because clothes don't fit very well after having six babies. They just don't. And it's frustrating going back to work and feeling I don't have anything to wear. So my mom took me shopping. I got a new skirt. Sean told me not to wear a skirt today, but I did. And it's because it fits. But I realized that, okay, maybe I'm not as fit or as cute as I was when Sean and I went to school. Right? Yeah. Yeah, don't answer that. But my husband loves me anyhow, irregardless. And I take comfort in that. And let me fix my earpiece. And so sometimes I get really frustrated with working full-time, have six kids, not a lot of time to work out. So I try to eat well so that I feel good and have the energy and so I can feed my son. But I realized from Kirk's message that maybe it's not about being neat and tidy, but how is my body being used for God's glory? And I realized, I'm like, I've given life to six people. That's a good thing. And I'm okay with that for now. So I appreciate your encouragement. That got me through my first week back to work, so I appreciate that. I'm getting dripped on. Fun. So let me move on. So who matters? At Pregnancy Resource Clinic, we tell people that they matter, irregardless of the situation, who they are, their economic status, whether they're gay or straight, Christian or non-Christian, they matter, which is very different or difficult for the church sometimes to wrap its heart around. Sometimes as a church, we say we love people, but we don't. We say we love the sinner, but not the sin. I've seen on many occasions that I don't think sometimes that we're really good at loving the sinner. I think we just give lip service or say that just to make ourselves feel better. So we tell people that they matter. We used to describe our clinic as the Pregnancy Resource Clinic, the pro-life Christian ministry or abortion alternative ministry on Pew Street in State College. And I found that all of those words were very political. They made, wedges in conversations. As soon as somebody heard Christian, they heard pro-life, they heard abortion alternative ministry, they didn't want to hear it anymore, even if they were Christian, even if they were pro-life, because people don't know how to talk about that. But we all can get around and wrap our arms around the fact that people matter. Okay? So in Psalm 139, let me read this to you because I really like it. Let's see. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Am I reading the same? I am. I just have the little one. Okay. All right. So is it okay if I read this? Okay. It's
too surprised, John. Okay, I've been in a lot of churches. Let's see. You discern my going out and my lying down. So he knows when you leave your house. He knows when you sleep. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the goodness will hide me, or the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I love that passage because he knows before you were born, right? You were created in your mother's womb. And all of us were created there. We weren't grown in a Tupperware container in a refrigerator. You know, another animal didn't give birth to us. We're all human beings. We all came from our mother's wombs. So life is precious because God created us. People, babies, mothers, and fathers were fearfully and wonderfully made. People are a work of art. And he says, your works are wonderful. You were designed by God, and it was his idea. It's not a mistake. You were planned before conception, before birth. Your uniqueness is what God wants you to offer to the world. So how are you unique? Have you asked yourself that question lately? Like, what sets you apart? What makes you you? I know Andrew. I'll use Andrew for example. He's 12 years old. We all know what 12 years old feels like sometimes. Andrew's figuring that out. And he just, last year, he started singing. And I love that he can sing. Todd and I think we can sing, right? But Andrew sings. And I love that he does that. And he sings in the chorus. And you just catch him singing tunes around the house. So I encourage you, if you are wondering, like, who am I? What am I good at? Or if you say to yourself, because I think Satan does this, I'm not good at anything. I'm not useful for anything. No one would use me. I'm incapable. Those are all things that are not from the Lord. Let's see. And it's not by what you look like that makes you unique. It's what are your talents. What do you enjoy doing? Do you sing, draw, dance? Are you orderly? Or do you go with the flow? Are you in front of the crowd or are you behind the scenes? You are unique and God wants to use you, but he can't use you and how he designed you for his glory and purpose if you don't know him. I think when I was trying to figure out what to share with you this week, I was really thinking about that if you don't know Jesus, I think you're not being used to your capacity and your uniqueness and how he created you. We will never actually know who we really are, our true identity as Christ's unique child, if we don't know him. It would be like an orphan that goes through life, never knowing his or her real father. And then one day as an adult, discovering who that real father was. And I bet there's somebody here, and maybe a few of you, that grew up as an orphan. You might not have known your parents. You always never knew that maybe who you thought was your father is really not your father until you were late, you know, much older. So we crave to know who our creator is, who are our parents. I think knowing who Jesus is, as a savior, as a leader in our life, can help us grow in our uniqueness. John 1:12 says, whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and who do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." Children are our future. Babies are the fruit of our wombs or fruit of the looms. That's what I think is really funny. Fruit of the looms, that underwear makes me think of that verse. Sorry. I don't know if many of you might not even know the history of Sanctity of Human Sunday started in 1984 when President Reagan was president. He declared the Sunday closest to the anniversary of Roe versus Wade to be Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. So this week, I believe, when is it, Monday? There's the March for Life in D.C. is going on this week. And that's a good thing that President Reagan did. So lots of churches all around are recognizing how important humans are and the sanctity that life is sacred today in their churches. So what I'd like to show you is a TED Talk by a gentleman named Alex, and I can't say his last name. It's T-S-I-A-R-A-S, Tesaurus maybe? I don't know. But he's awesome. I love this video, and I think you'll enjoy it.
At this spot in the point, we watched a TED Talk by Alexander Sarius. The link to this 10-minute talk can be found on our website at mc3church.org/thepoint/me. We now resume at the conclusion of that video.
Did you hear how many times he used the word marvel? He said marvel a lot. Magnificent. He doesn't know Jesus. I think Jesus has shown him who he is through his study. He, the beginning of his video, he shared how he was in charge of the equipment, the teams that sent satellites up into into space. So all of his images were done through MRI, and she took all of the data and made that video, and it's just absolutely beautiful. I came across that about a year and a half ago, and I just love watching it. Like, you are uniquely made. God created you. He needed you in your mother's womb. You can see, the DNA structure, and also the DNA that you have here. Your theme for this month is perfect for the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Why? We talked about me and who and why. So Deuteronomy 14:2 says, "You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure." We are treasured by God. We are set apart. We are different, each one of us. My family, 6 children from the same 2 people. All different, beautiful, entertaining, different personalities, challenging for sure. They're all unique. Because we have a purpose, you are not here by accident. You're not just taking up space, even if you feel that way. Remember Sean talked about 2 weeks ago, even if you feel this way, this is what God says. Even if you feel that way, this is what God says. You have a purpose. Because God knows us, as he says in Matthew 10:30, "But even the hairs on your head are all numbered." And that means even if you don't have hair. You have hair on your body. I'm sure he knows that number too. So let me explain just real quickly what it's like for me to serve at the clinic. So I'm the executive director, and I love working there. It's really hard. I have 5 staff. 2 are full-time, the rest are part-time. We have medical services. So we have an ultrasound machine that helps our clients determine how far along they are in their pregnancy, where it's located, and make sure that they're not pregnant with an ectopic pregnancy, to make sure that the pregnancy is viable. It helps our clients who are normally between the ages of 18 to 22, mostly Penn State students, let them know what's going on inside of their body so they can make an informed decision about their pregnancy. It also helps the boyfriends, the dads, or the husbands help their girlfriends, wives, or whoever they might be, help them make a good decision, hopefully one that is life-giving. We also provide STD testing for gonorrhea and chlamydia, and we just started that in the fall of 2012, which has doubled our clientele. We are quite busy, and we love providing that service. It helps to be able to talk to people about the health of their bodies and what they're doing, and maybe to help them make other decisions so they're not making destructive ones. We have a parenting program that meets weekly. We have a material assistance program that helps meet their like diapers and wipes and clothing needs. We also have an abortion recovery support group. So if somebody has had an abortion, they can go through a Bible study, and it's good. It's about 8 weeks long. And we just love the women and the men that come out of that Bible study, realize that they felt like they were kept in shame and regret for years. They walk away from that Bible study realizing that God loves them and are set free. So I thought I'd let you know like what I do. We see people from all ages. So I said 18 to 24, but adding services, we're seeing an older generation. We also are serving more men, which is really cool. And we just love people when they just come through our doors. We just love caring for them. You can imagine a young lady coming to our office knowing that she's pregnant, finding out she's pregnant for sure, having an ultrasound, and us seeing what you just saw on video. Maybe she's 10 weeks pregnant, but she decides to have an abortion. Sometimes those days are really hard because we are sometimes the only ones to witness that life. And that saddens me. But what I love is that God is not done with her. He's not done with the dad. And God reigns. He's sovereign. He knew, even when he died on the cross, that they would make that decision. And so he's much bigger than that. Sometimes in the pro-life movement, we get stuck in the abortion issue. We get stuck there. And we don't see how big God is, that he's bigger, he's beyond that. So we help the clients deal with the consequences, so the ramifications that they deal with here on earth. They mourn the loss of their baby at some point in their life. They look at their family picture and realize that somebody's missing, you know, and that's hard. So we love people through that. So I'm going to talk about the how. I talked about the who and the why and the how. How we can get involved. Let's see. You can get involved in the kingdom. You matter kind of work. So you matter. Crossroads is... say Crossroads. I'm trying to like think of my notes when I'm saying here. Crossroads is your local pregnancy center, and they love your community. They've been here for a really long time. Cindy and I know each other quite well, and Katie Flood. And so I encourage you to get involved. You may be involved with your families. So I'm really glad that Crossroads is here for you. And they believe you also matter, your children matter, your future matters, your future generations, your legacy matters. And as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God has a plan for each one of us. If we abort our children, we abort our future. I had a wonderful bishop named Bishop Boone say to me, "You tell your girls," and we deal, we serve a lot of the black community at State College, and he said, "You tell my girls," because he's black, said, "They abort their babies, they abort their future." And I don't really think about that. How, yeah, you do. You know, it's a baby, it's a person. Think about what you've done in your lifetime. Maybe the children you've had, the person that you married, the job that you do, and the people that you've affected. When they're not here, that doesn't happen. And so for me, when I was 14 and found out that I have a sibling in heaven, my heart ached for a sibling that I didn't know. You know, we miscarried a year ago in December, and my own children cried when we told them. I didn't expect them to. I didn't really know how they would react. And my Austin, our 10-year-old, cried. And I said, "What are the tears about?" And he said, "One of us," or it might have been Andrew, I don't know. He said, "One of us is missing, And I thought, yeah, it's true. It doesn't just happen when there's an abortion. It also happens when there's a miscarriage, too. So God has a plan for each one of us. And let's see, even he knew we would make the decisions. So all of our sin, he knew, as I said before, the many decisions here on earth. And his grace is sufficient for me and you. What I love most about Pregnancy Resource Clinic is that we not only do we love babies and the mothers that carry them, we love the men and the women who choose abortion too. And so I know that this issue is really difficult to talk about. There's some churches that don't like the word sex, certainly gonorrhea or chlamydia mentioned, and definitely not abortion. And so I appreciate that Sean and Kendra love what I do. They love Crossroads. They love Pregnancy Resource Clinic. And we're glad to have me come and just share my heart. Because I said to Sean, if there's one thing that you take away today is to know that you matter. You matter to somebody. And sometimes we get in real funks in our life where we think another pregnancy, and trust me, I know, with baby number 6, how are we going to do it? How are we going to feed our children? We know what it's like to struggle. Do we have enough money to get through the week to make sure we have gas in our gas tanks and enough money to, like, you know, eggs and milk and bread? We know what it's like to struggle like that. Make sure our electric bill is paid. But God has been sovereign, and he's provided. And I wondered how that would be. I had to trust that he would. That, okay, God, if you're going to have me be a mom of 6, then you're going to have to show up. And he definitely has. So Lewistown is on the way to Harrisburg, where there are 2 abortion clinics. So everybody passes through here on 322. And you're much closer. And we serve Lewistown. We have clients that come to our clinic for testing or pregnancy tests. Abortion's happening all the time, every day. 4,000 babies die here in just in the United States. 120,000 per day worldwide. It's an epidemic, and it's sad, and it affects people. So some people who have abortions struggle with depression or are wondering who's going to love me, and sometimes they can't have children afterwards. So we try to keep them from making those decisions that are so destructive, not just to their bodies, but their hearts. You know, a baby dies, but also a mom's heart dies too. We're created to be life givers. And men are created to be life protectors. And when we go against that, something happens to us. So my heart always is to share with people when they walk through our doors that you matter. And if we can help you make good decisions, ones that are life-giving, then I've done my job. So if you know somebody, or maybe you have participated in an abortion, you've had an abortion, encouraged somebody to have one, taken somebody to an abortion clinic, there is hope for you. You can contact Katie at Crossroads. She does the post-abortion Bible study. You can also come to State College and come to our Bible study. We have it twice a year. We would love to have you. Just need to talk to somebody. You can talk to Kendra or Sean or myself and ask more questions. And just tell people about Crossroads. Tell people about Pregnancy Resource Clinic. Encourage the moms when they find out they're pregnant with their 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, that they're good and God has blessed them. And stop asking, are you going to have more? Are you done? Do you know how that happened? What else? Where are you going to put it? You know, where are you going to put that baby? And, oh, wow, how do you do with a 7-passenger van? Oh, 2 cars. Oh, you know, we're not very pro-life, even in the church. So encourage moms, encourage dads. Wrap your hearts and lives around teenagers who find out that they're pregnant. Don't shun them. Bring them in and love them. I think MC3 is a good thing going here. So I pray if I come back next year that there's so many people you can't fit in this church. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a blessing over your church. And I'm so excited about what you guys are doing here. Okay? Does that sound good? So join with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you today by speaking on your behalf about life and how you believe that people matter. Lord, I thank you for MC3. I thank you for the ministry that's here. Lord, I know that there's big plans for this small church and it's to grow. Lewistown needs you, and we ask that this church is a conduit of your love, your grace, your mercy, that this church is real, that they are able to show your love in a very practical, loving way. And I ask that this place be filled with your spirit and also with people. I ask that you bless it abundantly in the year to come. And I ask you provide protection to this place. We thank you for your provision of this place. It's convenient and it's fun to be at. Lord, meet the needs of everybody that's here as they share their hearts with one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.